Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Stuck in the middle with you.
Yeah, that was simple.
We didn't spend 5 minutes on our phones trying to figure that out.
We definitely
did not do that.
We just first take it, as always. What's up, everybody? How's it going? You are watching / listening to the Command Zone podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Wong.
How's it? It's Josh Lee Kwai. We got a pretty cool episode today. So Zendikar Rising is starting to get spoiled. It's almost here.
It's rising.
it's rising. And so this set brings with it something brand new to Magic. We've never had this before. It's Commander Precons, but we're calling these set decks. Mm-hmm. This is a thing that Wizards has said they're going to be doing sort of for the foreseeable future, which is Commander Precon decks that come out with a set, but it's not like the Commander product that we're used to.
Yeah, these are more themed around the set. They're more reprint heavy, less about new cards. Because if you remember, Gavin actually came on the show last year to talk about this. And back during the Ikoria days, that's when we had all the official Commander products. And typically, that would happen around this time of year.
That's true.
But now we're theming it so that each of the new sets, the sort of main theme sets, will have a Commander Precon that's like kind of in the world.
Right. So we've been honored because Wizards has asked us actually to unveil one of the full deck lists for these precons. And so that's what we're going to be doing today. We also are going to get the help of an old friend, Game Night's alumni, and one of the designers, creators of this product. Well, let's let him introduce himself.
How is it, Jimmy and Josh, and everyone out there too? My name is Gavin Verhey from Wizards of the Coast, and I was the main architect this year on most of our Commander products. So that's things like C20 and Commander Legends, and of course, the Zendikar Rising Commander decks. So I'm going to be here today as Jimmy and Josh walk through the decks to help provide any additional insight. Back to you two.
That is the same Gavin, but with more beard.
Yeah, it's actually a different version of Gavin. The Gavin that I talked about.
It's Mountain Man Gavin.
Yeah, this is Mountain Man Gavin. He has a, when he's done recording his videos, he like picks up a banjo and just starts noodling away.
Yes, the pandemic has affected all of us differently. You know, I would definitely have grown the beard thing, but this is me after 5 days without shaving. Yeah, I can't grow it.
Nothing happens up here. So thanks, Gavin. You're holding the torch for all of us.
Okay, so Gavin's going to be helping us out, but we've got a lot of questions to tackle here because this is a new product. So it's like, how are these decks different than the traditional Commander Precons that we're used to? Mm-hmm. What about reprints in these decks? What's that going to look like? How good is the value? And for God's sakes, what are the new cards? Yeah, so we're going to answer all of that. But first, if you want to get your hands on this deck, the other deck, which is a Naya deck, it's already been revealed this morning as well. Anything from Zendikar Rising, booster boxes, bundles, singles. Yeah, cardkingdom.com/commandzone. That's the place that you want to go to order all of your Magic product, including the new stuff from Zendikar Rising. At this point, we know everything from the set, so we know there's cool expedition style versions of fetch lands and things. So a lot of exciting stuff. You definitely want to get your hands on it. Cardkingdom.com/command zone. They're going to get it to you faster than anybody else and in better condition.
And when you get those cards, especially if they're those sweet expeditions or, you know, the sweet foil commanders in these precons, you're going to want to sleeve them up, keep them protected. And for that, we here at the Command Zone trust Ultra Pro forever and always. In fact, they just came out with brand new Eclipse sleeves that have glossy fronts on them. So your foils are going to shine through that much more. And look, your cards have value and you want to keep them in pristine condition from now until forever. So Ultra Pro always has our backs. They're also the ones that made our playmat. They're the ones that we trust to print a lot of the stuff that we use on the show and give away to you at the end of each episode of Game Nights.
Yeah, and another way to support all of our content is directly if you go to patreon.com/commandzone. You get to contribute to our content and also interact with Jimmy and I daily on our Discord. You get to see things like Extra Turns, which, spoiler alert, is coming out next week.
What?
I know. We've been doing a lot of them lately because of patrons and sponsors and things like that.
We've
been
able to do more. Kickstarter, we said we'd make them. So
you also get to watch Game Nights a day earlier than everybody else. Also, the Extra Turns and the Game Nights that you watch early are ad-free, so patrons, a lot of perks. Also, patrons who qualify are getting our brand new Epic Play playmat for free. And if you're not a qualifying patron, you can go right now to the Kickstarter for our Epic Play playmat. In fact, if you haven't seen the image, we have a cool animation for it. Let's play that really quick. Yes.
The epic.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Yes. Yeah, tearing down the castle behind. It's awesome. Limited time sale, so if you do not purchase this playmat on Kickstarter by the time the Kickstarter ends, you will never be able to get it ever, ever, ever again.
Yeah, so click the link in the show notes. Go order your playmat. That time is running out on that campaign because it's been going for a little while here. And we almost forgot. Back to the patron thing. Patrons, patreon.com/commandzone. We also shout out one lucky patron every single episode. And this episode is dedicated to
Alexander Giuliano.
Alexander, you rock.
That's a really cool name.
All right, let's get into the deck reveal for this Dimir Rogue Tribal deck. It's called Sneak Attack.
Even though it's not in red.
Yeah, that's a little weird. Why are we doing this without red? But that's okay. They probably were like, whatever. Rogues are sneaky and they attack, so
yeah,
it's
sure,
fine.
Yeah.
All right, so why are they doing these new precons? Who's the commander of this deck? Let's hear from Gavin really quickly. He can sort of set the table for us.
Zendikar Rising has two brand new commander decks. These are meant to be our most accessible commander decks ever and are perfect to pick up and play. Now, just like how in Ikoria Commander, all of the brand new cards were set on Ikoria, here with Zendikar Commander, all of the brand new cards are set on Zendikar. And since we've been to Zendikar before, this was a really fun chance to go and revisit some previous characters that we didn't have room for in the main set. Like, say, this guy, Anawan. We saw him all the way back in original Zendikar block as Anawan the Runesage. We didn't have room for him in the main set, but we were able to cook up a pretty cool version to be the front-face legendary creature of the blue-black Zendikar Rising Commander deck.
Aha. All right. Well, since Gavin gave us that wonderful lead-in, I guess it's up to us to reveal the most important card in the deck. It's a brand new card, and it is the Commander.
Yes. Yay! It's Anawan, the Ruin Thief. 2, a blue and a black for a 2/4 legendary creature, of course, Vampire Rogue. Says other rogues you control get +1/+1.
To Lord.
And then whenever one or more rogues you control deal combat damage to a player, that player mills a card for each one damage dealt to them. If the player mills at least one creature card this way, you draw a card. And of course, to mill a card, a player puts the top card of their library into their graveyard.
Which is actually brand new. We've up until M21, mill didn't become a keyword. So that's very interesting. So yeah, Anawan, everything about this deck is printed on this card. It's obviously Rogue Tribal. Mm-hmm. You're going to give your rogues +1/+1. And you're going to want to do sneaky, attacky damage to your opponents. Mill them and hopefully mill some creature cards because that way you get to draw some cards.
This is pretty exciting because there hasn't really been a true Rogue Tribal commander until now. There have been Rogue Tribal decks, if you go to EDH Rec, that people have built around. But there hasn't been a legendary creature that actually references rogues in this way in its text box. So you've kind of just had to piecemeal it together yourself, kind of like my Tim deck or something like that.
Right.
Maybe Morophon or something like that. But there's been nothing that said, hey, rogues, in the text box, this is what we care about. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and blue and black are the colors for it.
Right. So. A couple things to note here about the rules text is it's when one or more rogues deals combat damage to a player. So you can draw a card only once off each opponent.
Right.
But you could attack multiple opponents.
With multiple rogues.
And then, depending on what they mill, you might be able to draw a card off Mel and draw a card off Megan and draw a card off Jimmy if you had a ton of rogues out and you got lucky with the mill.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't draw sort of more than one card per opponent, unless you had like double strike or something, I guess, because then it would mill a second
deal
time.
Deal damage twice.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that you're milling for each damage, one damage dealt to them. So if you hit them for five, they're going to mill five cards.
Yep.
And then, of course, the card draw is on Anawan. So if Anawan is not there, then you're not going to draw the cards. And you're not going to mill either.
Well, the card draw is directly tied to Anawan. So you can't mill if... So you can't draw if you milled from something else.
Something else, right.
Yeah, so if you had, like, I don't know, a card that caused everybody to mill 10 cards, it's not... It's not from the combat damage dealt by rogues, because it says if the player mills at least one creature card this way, referring to the trigger from Anawan. So unfortunately, it's not like mill people with something else and draw cards, which wouldn't maybe be too powerful anyway. So maybe it's not unfortunately, maybe
powerful,
unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have a clip here from Gavin where he sort of talks about why they chose rogues and mill as a theme for this deck. So let's hear from Gavin.
One of the many cool things about attaching commander decks to main sets is that you can pick a theme in the main set that didn't get fully explored and blow it out in the commander deck. And that's exactly what we did here. You see, the main set of Zendikar Rising has the party mechanic. Now, party cares about wizards and clerics and warriors and rogues, but doesn't go into any specific one that far. Well, in the commander deck, it's full on rogue tribal here, and it's led by Anawan. Anawan is the perfect rogues commander. He pumps up all of your rogues, which is fantastic, and then when he hits your opponent or your rogues hit your opponent, you get to mill them. Now, milling your opponent out in a 100-card deck is pretty hard to do, but it can happen sometimes. But even if you're not milling them out all the way, just drawing the card from that mill is a pretty big deal. Additionally, the deck has a lot of ways to interact with your opponent's graveyard, so even though you might not deck your opponent, you'll be able to use their goodies to your advantage.
Okay, so...
That's not the only new card.
Yeah, so each of these decks has more new cards than just the commander. So let's read them really quickly. There's two.
Yeah, a smattering of new cards. Yep. All right, this is Enigma Thief, which is a 5 blue creature Sphinx Rogue. That's a 5/5. However, that's not the mana cost you typically pay because this card has Prowl on it. So the Prowl cost is 3 and a blue, and it says you may cast this spell for its Prowl cost if you dealt combat damage to a player this turn with a Sphinx or a Rogue. Has flying, and when Enigma Thief enters the battlefield for each opponent, return up to one target non-land permanent that player controls to its owner's hand.
So for each opponent, you bounce something.
Yeah, 4 mana as well, because that's typically what you're going to be paying for Enigma Thief. 7 mana to do that effect, not so great, but 4 mana seems much more doable. And that's probably 3 things from opponents to their hand for 4 mana, so that's a really good rate. And you get a 5/5 flare out of it, too.
Yeah, the Prowl cost seems like it's going to be not too hard for this deck to turn on, assuming you have a lot of rogues, which why are you running Anawan if not? So yeah. Then it's very, I think that's actually very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Bounce 3 things for 4 mana. It seems great. Okay, let's talk about the second new card, which is called Whisper Steel Dagger. It's 2 and a black for an artifact equipment. It says equipped creature gets +2/+0. And whenever equipped creature deals combat damage to a player, you may cast a creature spell from that player's graveyard this turn, and you may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast that spell.
Hmm.
And then it has an equip cost of 3. So if you get this on a rogue, and spoiler alert, a lot of rogues have unblockable.
Yeah.
Have ways that they're getting in there. Yeah. So you hit somebody, and then all of a sudden, their graveyard, you get access to cast something out of there, sort of Caridor style. You still have to pay the casting cost, but you can spend mana as though or mana of any color.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, I think this sort of works really well in tandem with Anawan and the mill, right? And especially since this ups the power of the creature, they're going to mill more cards.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So they mill more cards. They hopefully hit a creature, you draw a card, and then you go, oh. And also, as a way to draw almost another card, I'm going to cast a creature card out of your graveyard, which is almost like I drew it, right?
Yeah, which is great for blue-black, too, because they get access to a lot of colors and creatures they wouldn't have otherwise. The equip cost of 3 is a little rough.
Yeah.
Equipment costing 3 as well, but it's a cool synergy card within the deck. And that's actually it. These decks only have 3 new cards total in them, and the regular Commander decks were used to a lot more, like 10 to 15.
So 20 this last year, but in Days of Yore, it was like 10 to 15. So that's one of the ways that these precons are a little bit different, right? There's only 3 new cards per deck, which means there's a lot more reprints. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about these new cards with Gavin really quickly and sort of, you know, how they came to choose these as the new cards that were going in the deck.
Both of the Zendikar Rising Commander decks have 3 brand new cards, and 2 besides the Commander. The goal with these cards was to both support the strategy, give it some extra oomph, but also to create cards that the wider Commander ecosystem would want to have. So for example, with Whisper Steel Dagger, this is an awesome card in the Rogues deck. You're going to be milling them with Anawan, your opponents are going to get a bunch of cards into their graveyard, and then this will help cast some. But this also fits a lot of other Commander decks just fine. With Enigma Thief, this was a really great card to play into the Rogue strategy. Prowl is not a mechanic we've seen a ton of, and so this is a fun throwback to that, while also creating a really strong tempo play that bounces a bunch of your opponent's stuff. It's like a mini Cyclonic Rift, and we all know how powerful that card is.
Okay, so pretty interesting from Gavin there. And normally we would break down these cards a little further and sort of give our evaluation, maybe list some other cool
combos,
synergy cards that would go with them. We're going to save that for a later video because we don't want any confusion about what's actually in this deck. So we're only going to talk about cards in this video that are actually in the deck because it is a deck reveal video. But look forward in the next few days or in the next week or so. We're going to do what we always do for Commander Precons, which is our quick upgrade guide.
Yeah, so this one's going to be fun too.
Yeah, so we're going to suggest the 10 cards you should add, the 10 cards you should take out for around a $25 budget to bring these decks sort of up to normal power levels as quickly as possible. So we will be still doing that.
And then, you know, I'm actually a fan of not having too many new cards because we already had the Commander Precons earlier in the year and we can see the effect that it sometimes has on the format. This is, I think, you know, it's the intro. Get back into Commander or get someone into Commander for the first time.
Yeah, we don't need 70 new Commander cards in addition to what we already get for every single set, right?
Yeah, like that's what a little overwhelming.
Yeah, 6 new ones seems fine. 2 new legendary creatures. Yeah, I'm totally on board with it. Okay, so let's look at the stats. Oh, sorry. Let's look at the stats. All right, let's look at the stats of this deck. We did our normal breakdown. So there are about 8 ramp cards in the deck, and as you can imagine, they're almost all mana rocks.
Yep.
Card draw seems a little low. There are 7, but remember that Anawan himself is a card draw engine in some way. I'm not sure how reliable it's going to be every single game, but the fact that you have your commander, which you always have access to, is a way to get card draw, really helps that number out a lot. Like, because that's worth more than just one card draw spell in your deck, right?
It's also consistent if you do happen to recast your commander twice, but I don't think you're casting commander Anawan more than twice, and because he's 6 mana the second time
yeah
around.
You're not casting for 8 probably. There are 4 board wipes in the deck, right around the 5 we usually recommend, and 7 targeted removal. We've seen that number go up, and it's gone up for my deck building. I don't know about you, Jimmy, in general.
It has.
So, yeah, I think our old rubric of like 5 targeted removal is a little low now. You probably want to be closer to 8 or so. So we're right in that ballpark. Rogues, obviously, rogues very important to this deck. There are 26 rogues in the deck or ways to create rogues. So as far as like it says rogue on the subtype line, that's most of them, but there are a couple that we counted in this category that just create rogue tokens or something.
That's right about right too. Yeah, maybe a teeny bit low because Anawan wants rogues to attack all the time, but this is, I'd say, right around the right number too.
Yeah, we normally say if you have a theme in your deck, at least 25 of that thing most of the time besides Super Friends decks is what you want. Rogue payoffs, so things that say like if you have rogues, then you get a bonus. There's about 11 of those, so very rogue-focused, this deck. There are 4 cards with Prowl in the deck, which is, we considered a rogue payoff.
Yeah.
And Enigma Thief had Prowl. There's also stuff like Latchkey Fairy. This is this thing that says when you can cast the card for an alternate casting cost if you've dealt combat damage with a fairy or rogue this turn. So,
yeah. And the Prowl cost is usually related to the 2 creature types. So Enigma Thief was a Sphinx rogue, so you can cast it if you do damage with a Sphinx or rogue, and Latchkey Fairy is a fairy rogue. You can cast it from its Prowl cost if you do damage with a fairy or a rogue.
Oh, there you go. I didn't even notice the Sphinx thing on the end.
Doubtful that you're going to do damage with a Sphinx and then cast Enigma Thief in this deck, though.
That's true. And also, remember, Anawan himself is a rogue payoff, right? It says if you deal combat damage with rogues, then you mill and you possibly draw cards. So, so mill effects. How strongly does this deck care about mill? Are you trying to mill out your opponents as a win con? And we see there are only 3 mill effects in the deck. Remember, Anawan is also a mill effect. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't seem like the mill part of this is very highly focused on. There's
I think that's just correct a little bit. As well.
Yeah, it's really hard to mill people out in Commander. I think you're mostly trying, the mill's mostly gravy. You're hoping to draw cards off of it, and then you have a few ways in the deck to take advantage of that. And in fact, we see that mill payoffs is the next category, and there are actually 10 mill payoffs. So there's a lot more ways to sort of get rewarded for milling them than there are ways to actually mill them. So there are a lot of reanimating from graveyard effects in here. So obviously, I think you're supposed to hit your opponents, mill their stuff in their graveyard, and then like the Whisper Steel Dagger, and this is one of the mill payoffs, there are ways to sort of like, oh, now that you've got that in your graveyard, I'm going to take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then ways to pump creatures. I looked into this out of curiosity because it does matter how much damage creatures do for how much you mill.
Mm-hmm.
There are 7. So there are a decent amount of ways, and a lot of that's on equipment and things.
Yeah, seems a little high.
Yeah,
it seems like you don't actually care that much about it because.
But you do want to, like, you don't want to hit and then not mill a creature.
Yeah,
right. So you need to mill at least a few cards to hope you get a creature so you can draw that card. So it might be important. I don't know. Without playing the deck, it's hard to tell exactly how much that's going to matter.
Yeah.
What do you think of the stats overall, Jimmy? How does this look?
Pretty solid. I think the mill effects and mill payoffs is interesting. That's like the sub theme of the deck mm-hmm. is like ways to reanimate cards from the graveyard outside of just straight up drawing them with Anawan.
Mm-hmm.
And like we said here, the card draw and the ramp is a teeny bit low. And you would also, of course, when you go and look at what the ramp is, sometimes, you know, being a blue-black deck, it's mostly going to be mana rocks. But mm-hmm. if it's a green deck and there's like not much land ramp, then you'd be like, hold on, let's make sure that that's in there as well. So you have to go through and look. But it looks like a lot of it is just like Signet, Soul Rings, all that.
Yeah. I also want to say that most rogues are small, right? They have low power, like 1 to 2 power.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to tell like what the chances are that you'll mill a creature card off your opponent's deck, which really does affect the evaluation because, it's hard to know. Do you need more card draw or will Anawan just take care of it? I'm not sure because hitting with 1/1s doesn't seem like it's like that's not worth a full card.
Yeah.
Even if your opponent's deck was all creatures and lands, it's still only like a 60% chance. And most decks are like at most 35 creatures, right? So that's a 1 in 3 chance. So you really want to mill at least 3 cards from a creature deck to even
get a chance to draw 1 card.
Yeah, so that's a little interesting.
There's also not 100% chance that you're going to be able to get in with damage with your rogues either.
Exactly.
Because a lot of rogues say unblockable, but a lot of them don't. Like, they just are just creatures that say rogue on them. Not to mention milling players can sometimes get them really salty, doing a lot of damage across
or
the board.
Help them.
Yeah, it can help them as well. Yeah, don't mill the wrong person. But this is definitely one of those decks where I think, like, Anawan's 4 mana, who knows how often you're going to be actually get his trigger to go, because at that point when you cast him and have other creatures out, turn 4, good chance people will have blockers unless you have unblockable stuff.
All right. Okay, so that covers the stats of the deck, and next we're going to start looking at the reprints. It's a big question what everybody's wondering, you know, what are reprints in these new precons look like? But before we get into that, we're going to take a quick break and hear a message from our sponsors.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
All right, we are back talking about the Sneak Attack Blue-Black Rogues Matters deck headed by Anowon the Ruin Thief, and there are only three new cards in this deck, but there are a lot of reprints, which is really exciting. It's actually the bulk of the deck, and I think it's one of the biggest questions that players have going into learning about these decks as well. We want to know, okay, cool, we have a lot of reprints in here. What's the value of them? Is this going to make a Commander Precon worth buying if I'm looking to get some cards? And of course, there are only three new cards, which means there's a good chance that a lot of them are good reprints, but we don't exactly know how good they are yet.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are wondering, you know, how are these going to measure up compared to the traditional Commander Precons that we've known for years and years?
Yep.
And aside from the fact that there are fewer new cards, we don't really know exactly how these decks are different than those traditional Commander Precons. So one thing we've heard is that these are kind of, these set decks, we're calling them, are kind of like the Commander deck version of a Planeswalker deck.
Right. And those decks usually have a Planeswalker on the front. It's like an alternate cost Planeswalker that usually costs more, and there are cards in the deck that affect it, so it feels almost like a Commander experience, but with a Planeswalker.
And those decks are usually meant for newer players, and those Planeswalker decks are pretty cheap.
Yeah.
They're usually around $15. So I think this talking point from Wizards kind of implies that these set precon decks, these Commander decks, are going to be priced a decent bit lower than our traditional Commander products.
Sweet.
And that they're maybe primarily entry points for newer players. And Wizards has dropped other hints to sort of indicate that that's the case. You know, without MSRP, because they stopped doing MSRP lately, it's kind of difficult for them to talk about it. And they usually have to be vague in their, in the way they,
to protect, you know,
because they can't promise like certain price points because there is no MSRP. But Gavin said earlier that these are our most accessible Commander decks ever.
Ah.
And I think that's kind of a way that they sort of signify like accessible, right? Like that's a
easy,
that's a code word for cheap. I hope
you know, yeah,
less costly,
fingers crossed,
maybe. Okay, yeah, all right, sorry. I know everybody wants to know about the reprint value, so we'll stop talking about this now and get into the reprint value.
That's important too.
Yeah. but I would keep that in mind, right? If the price of these decks is lower, then that has to be factored in. And also, does that mean the value of the reprints is going to sort of follow suit? Is there, you know, are the reprints going to be
not as good?
Yeah, just because these decks are going to be cheaper. So, all right, we're going to break this down a little bit. And disclaimer, as usual, we are recording this video before the deck list has been revealed to the world. And we know that as soon as the deck list, which, by the way, the full deck list is in the show notes, you can go check on it and look at it. As soon as that's out there, the price of all the reprints goes down. So we can only check the prices before the deck list is announced. So,
but it's good to know regardless.
And we've done that in years past, so that's good for us because at least we're using the same bar to sort of compare everything, right?
Yeah, and it also would be very weird if we're like, it's going to go down to this, we think, and
yeah,
try and talk
we're
about
just
it.
Guessing.
So, yeah.
All right, so the deck contents, we know there are three new cards. There are 30 basic lands in the deck, which means there are 67 reprints.
30 basic lands?
Yeah, that's a lot of basic lands. Usually in the C20 decks, for example, in Ikoria, we had all between 15 to 18 basic lands. There was a lot more utility lands.
Non-basics, yeah.
However, those decks, the traditional precons, have a lot more new cards.
So including the lands, by the way, yeah.
Yeah, so the number of total reprints in this set decks are actually kind of closer to the traditional Commander precons than you would think. I thought, like, there's going to be way more reprints. There might be 80 reprints
right.
in these decks because there's not so many new cards. But because basic lands are taking up a bunch of the slots, it's actually closer than I thought. Another thing to note is that three of the cards in this deck are from the Zendikar Rising main set. So they're technically reprints, but they don't have a price that we can reference, right? Because at the same time that we're recording before this deck is known, we're actually recording this before anything from Zendikar Rising is known. So the value from those three cards is going to be left out of the stats. I don't think it's going to make a difference because they're all uncommons from a brand new set, so they're going to be pretty cheap. But those cards for reference are Merfolk Windrobber, Sure-Footed Infiltrator, and Soaring Thought Thief.
Man, these are all trying to steal stuff or infiltrate.
They're all rogue. Yeah, exactly. We're not going to read what each of those does because they've been previewed by somebody else. We're not sure who, but they're probably unlikely also to see much play outside of rogue tribal decks. So it's, yeah.
And we saw this with Ikoria as well, with the one deck that was all about transform, not morph.
Come together.
So you're going to see some reprints that of the deck that shares themes with the actual set.
All right, let's get into some specifics here. We're going to talk about the notable reprints in this deck. We can't go through every card because that'll just make for a 5-hour long video. So we're just going to hit the highlights. Again, the full deck list is in the show notes. So just go down there if you want to just see the deck list now.
And there are some good highlights.
Yeah, so let's talk about the top reprints in this deck, which we're going to define as being valued at $5 or more, again, at the time of recording this video. You want to start with the big one?
Yeah, the first big one, a Craig Blanchett favorite. It's Una, Queen of the Fae. So she's 3, Dimir, Dimir, Dimir. It's a legendary creature fairy wizard that's a 5/5 with flying, and this is one of the mill cards in the deck, because for X and a Dimir, you can choose a color, and target opponent exiles the top X cards of their library. For each card of the chosen color exiled this way, create a 1/1 blue and black fairy rogue creature token with flying. So this is a great mill card. It's going to get you a ton of 1/1s, and more importantly, they're all rogues. So then those can start hitting players, and they're flying. They're very, very good. This card is actually a $13 card as of the time of recording this video.
And a very powerful deck in its own right. Yeah. I like that it exiles the cards. This won't synergize with some of the reanimate cards you have. But at the same time, if there's a Marin deck or something, you can point this at them and you don't have to worry that you're somehow helping them. The next card is another card that we often see as the commander of its own deck. And this was probably the most popular rogue tribal commander up until this point. Probably going to be supplanted by Anawan, but it's Sig River Cutthroat. It's 2 hybrid Dimir mana, so either blue-blue, black-black, or blue and black. For a 1/3 legendary creature, Merfolk Rogue, at the beginning of each end step, if an opponent lost 3 or more life this turn, you may draw a card. So this incentivizes you dealing damages to at least one of your opponents. And again,
which is what your deck wants to do.
Yeah, and again, this was a $13 card, just like Una. So we start off right off the bat with 2 more than $10 cards.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen in Commander decks past, it never even get past like the $7 or $8 mark in terms of reprints. So this is pretty cool. And they're both commanders as well, which you can use in your own decks if you don't want to build a Anemon, the Ruin Thief deck, which is awesome.
You could literally just swap these out as the commander for this deck if you felt like it. I don't think it would probably be quite as good, but you could do it. Yeah,
that's a good point. The next is Notorious Throng, which I will say is the first time I've ever seen this card.
I've never seen it, which just shows we haven't played against a lot of rogue tribal decks, probably.
It's 3 in the blue for a tribal sorcery rogue, and this sorcery actually has Prowl on it. So for 5 in the blue, you may cast it for its Prowl cost if you dealt combat damage to a player this turn with a rogue. And it says, create X 1/1 black fairy rogue creature tokens with flying, where X is the damage dealt to your opponents this turn. If this spell's Prowl cost was paid, take an extra turn after this one.
Yeah, so you're because you are immediately wondering, why is the Prowl cost higher than the regular cost? Well, because for 2 extra mana, you get an extra turn. That seems like a good rate.
And a bunch of 1/1 black fairy creature tokens that then you can use to attack on your next turn. So it's got the Una effect, except Una makes blue and black fairy rogues. This just makes black fairy rogues, but they are flying, and they're going to be able to hit on your new extra turn for 6 mana.
And they're 2/2 with Anawan.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. And this card was $10 before the deck reveal, so that's 3 cards over $10. I would say in most, if not many, of the Commander products in the past, we did not have 3 cards over $10 in the reprint slots, so that's interesting. The next card is Obelisk of Urd, 6 mana for an artifact, but it has Convoke, so your creatures can help cast this spell. Each creature you tap while casting the spell pays for one or one generic mana of its cost. As Obelisk of Urd enters the battlefield, you choose a creature type, and then creatures you control of the chosen type get +2/+2. So obviously you're going to choose werewolves.
And then with Anawan, your rogues get +1/+1, and all your werewolves get +2/+2. That card's also up there around 850. Is like a great tribal card, especially in token decks, and we just talked about two cards that create 1/1 tokens that can ramp this thing out. Notorious Throng into Obelisk of Urd into an extra turn seems pretty sweet.
Yeah, seems really good.
And then let's go into, of course, a card that's been reprinted many times but keeps rising in price. So this is actually one of the real reasons I'm really happy that these decks are coming out so often, is that we can just get as many Arcane Signets onto the market as possible. It's 2 mana for an artifact. You can tap it to add 1 mana of any color in Commander's color identity. Now, obviously, it's not as great in a 2-color deck, but I like that Wizards is just like, we just need to reprint this a bunch because this card rose again back up to $6.
Yeah, and I think you still run this in any 2-color combination that doesn't have green, right? Because
just to get more ramp.
Yeah, you're not at you're not at terminal velocity for the amount. Terminal velocity? What's the word I'm looking for?
I think it is terminal velocity. Just the max?
Yeah, you haven't maxed out on 2 mana ramp in these decks. So
I would even put this on a mono red deck. Jeez.
Yeah, exactly. Just because 2 mana ramp you need in a lot of decks. So Arcane Signet, yeah, I think if we keep seeing it reprinted at the rate it has been, it's going to be, you know, at Soul Ring or below prices, which is good.
Thank goodness.
Because you need those for a lot of deck. Okay, so those are all... Oh, that was about $6 before the reveal. So those are the 5 cards that are above $5. And then we're going to talk about even more reprints, and all of these are above the $2 price point. Just because, again, we're just trying to go through most of the highlights here. So Dimir Signet.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, I'm really surprised.
We've seen this printed in the Masters sets. It's been, I feel like it's been around everywhere, but I always keep them every time I grab them. But man, this rose again.
Yeah, and not all the Signets are this high, but a lot of the ones not in green, obviously, have risen up over the years. So Dimir Signet is the 2-mana Signet in blue and black. And it is about $450 at the time of this recording, which is surprising. But kind of like Arcane Signet, I think these are cards that just, you can reprint them, and unless you reprint the crap out of them, they're always going to slowly climb back up, because every deck needs them.
2-mana rocks, but 1-mana rocks are better. Soul Ring, of course, always is going to sit around the sort of $4 to $5 price point. Now it's at $450, and again, even though this gets reprinted every single year in every single Commander deck, it's still one of the most played cards, and everyone needs one. So,
because every new Commander deck that gets built needs a Soul Ring in it, right? So that's why.
Yeah. So that was around $450. That's probably going to drop back down. But again, going to go straight back up after, you know, players sort of get into the format and these decks aren't as available.
I mean, we do have Commander Legends, and we know there are these set decks for that product as well. Will they have Arcane Signet and Soul Ring in those too? Maybe. We don't know. Obviously, we have no information about those, but those, maybe that can finally keep the prices down with these set decks coming out. Maybe.
What Commander Legends will do, though, is make a lot more people build Commander decks.
That's a really good point.
Maybe that raises the price up. Yeah. Pick them up now.
All right. We're not done with the $2 and over cards. The next one is Sepulchral Primordial.
Ooh.
This is really good in the deck. So it's 5 black for a 5/4 avatar. Has Intimidate. It means this creature can't be blocked except by artifact creatures and or creatures that share color with it. But it says, when Sepulchral Primordial enters the battlefield, for each opponent, you may put up to 1 target creature card from that player's graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. So this is obviously pretty good with mill. Mill you for a few turns, play this thing, get the best thing out of everybody's graveyard onto my battlefield.
And hopefully you have enough ramp to get it out early, because it is a 7-mana card.
It's not the type of card you would want to play early, so I actually think as a 7-mana card, it's kind of fine.
It's kind of a game ender, I think, in the more casual decks as well, because you just get so much out of it, potentially. The next up is Lazav, Dimir Mastermind.
Did I say Sepulchral Primordial was about $4?
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Not bad. Lazav, Dimir Mastermind is a little less. It's around $350, but it's blue, black for a legendary creature shapeshifter with hexproof. You could also make this a commander deck if you wanted to.
Yep.
Whenever a creature card is put into an opponent's graveyard from anywhere, you may have Lazav become a copy of that card, except its name is Lazav, Dimir Mastermind. It's legendary in addition to its other types, and it has hexproof and this ability. So this card can keep changing into the cards that you're milling with Anawan, or any of your other mill cards. and then it has hexproof, and it contains and it maintains the ability, which is pretty cool. So it can just kind of shift around.
Yeah, we've seen hexproof It That Betrays before on game nights, and that's hard to deal with, let's just say.
Yeah.
So Lazav, very powerful when you're milling cards.
Just hexproof in general. So good.
Yep. The next one is Consuming Aberration. It's 3 BLUE and a BLACK for a star horror. Consuming Aberration's power and toughness are equal to the number of cards in your opponent's graveyards, all added together. And then whenever you cast a spell, each opponent reveals cards from the top of their library until they reveal a land card, and then they put those cards into their graveyard. So this is also a card that's milling them for quite a bit, because mm-hmm. they each do this when you cast a spell. And then obviously it gets better with your milling things with Anawan, because it just gets bigger.
It consumes.
Oh, it's about $3.
$3, yeah. The next up is a card that I haven't seen much play, but I actually like it quite a lot. It's Ogre Slumlord, 3 BLACK/BLACK for a 3/3 creature ogre rogue. Whenever another non-token creature dies, you may create a 1/1 black rat creature token, and rats you control have death touch. So they're not rogues that you create, but you do create very, very annoying creatures. And here's the thing, if someone's going to block you with Anwans out, they're like, I don't want you to do damage to me. You have Ogre Slumlord out, now you get a little 1/1s out of result, and then you can swing with those. Pretty annoying.
Yeah, this card is a rogue itself, which I think is why it's in there, but also just good value for aristocrat-style stuff. If anybody else is sacrificing their own creatures, because it's when another non-token creature dies, not you control, so it counts your opponent's.
And your stuff and your opponent's, yeah.
Definitely a powerful card if you can stick it.
That's like 250 right now, so it's a little up there.
The next one is an equipment. It's Blackblade Reforged. It's 2 mana for legendary equipment. Equipped creature gets +1/+1 for each land you control, which is Dakon Blackblade's text, which is why it's Blackblade Reforged. It's interesting. It has an equip cost of 7, but it has equip legendary creature for only 3. So if you put it on Anawan or Una or Sig
or Lazav,
then all of a sudden it gets really big, really fast. So that's interesting. And because, you know, obviously you're milling for the amount of damage you're hitting for.
Yeah.
You know, you could turn Anawan into like a 12-12 or something later in the game and just boom, mill him for a ton. So that's cool.
Yep. And that card was sitting around 225. Next up is Necromantic Selection, which is one of the board wipes in the deck. It's like a classic black board wipe. It's 4 BLACK/BLACK/BLACK, 7 mana for a sorcery. Destroy all creatures, then return the creature card put into a graveyard this way to the battlefield under your control. It's a black zombie in addition to its other colors and types, and you exile Necromantic Selection. So you can actually do this board wipe on yourself as well and choose a creature that you had die, come back on the battlefield, like Sepulchral Primordial maybe.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Just have it go all over again.
Also, because of the new rules surrounding Commander dies triggers, they actually go to the graveyard, and I believe Necromantic Selection can snag somebody's commander now.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so you can destroy all creatures, their commanders go to the graveyard, and because Necromantic Selection has to fully resolve before the state-based action will check and they'll be able to put it back in the command zone, I think you can be like, oh, I'll just take your commander.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that card actually got way better.
And then here's a card, I was surprised it was only $2, because this card is incredibly powerful. It's Notion Thief. 2 BLUE and a BLACK for a 3/1 human rogue. I didn't even know it was a rogue. Has flash. If an opponent would draw a card, except the first one they draw in each of their draw steps, instead that player skips that draw and you draw a card. So this is a way to steal your opponent's card draw from them. And usually you flash it in when a big effect takes place and you just like, they think they're drawing like a bunch of cards. And you're like, no, I'll draw those cards. And it's the worst when they do that to you.
And it's a persistent effect. So it's going to stay there until they get rid of the Notion Thief.
We said we weren't going to mention cards that aren't in the deck, but there are a couple cards where this will kill you.
Yes.
So be careful.
You'll immediately mill it. It's not a May ability.
No, it's not. Yeah, you have to do it. So,
which is funny.
Okay, and then I want to talk about one card that is not on the sort of most valuable list for reprints, right? This is not $2 or more or $5 or more, but I think it's the best card in the deck or one of the best cards in the deck. And
it should be $2 or more. This card's awesome.
We've been talking about it a lot.
All the time. I bought like 5 foil copies. I was like, I just want more of them.
So it's Sir Conrad the Grim, 3 BLACK/BLACK for a 5/4 legendary creature, human knight. Whenever another creature dies or a creature card is put into a graveyard from anywhere other than the battlefield, or a creature card leaves your graveyard, Sir Conrad the Grim deals 1 damage to each opponent. So now every time you mill your opponents, if a creature card goes, you'll draw a card from Anawan and then deal damage to everybody for each of those mills. This is like all of a sudden going to make you be able to kill people with the milling. Yeah. And you can also pay 1 in a black for Sir Conrad as an activated ability, and each player mills a card. And you can do that as many times as you have one in black. You don't have to tap Sir Conrad or anything. So just a very powerful card in the deck. I think a finisher in this deck.
Yeah, and it's a great way to pair up with the fact that you're not going to mill them out, but you will be doing damage combat-wise as well as Sir Conrad-wise, and that's going to do a lot over the game.
All right, so there are five cards that were over $5, 14 total cards over $2, and then total reprint value of the entire deck. Are you ready for this?
Yep.
$106.16.
Ooh, a lot of heavy lifting being done by Una and Sig there, by the way.
Yeah, that's $26
of that. Yeah, yeah, that's a fifth of it.
So let's compare that to the C20 precon, so the Ikoria-themed traditional commander product that came out earlier this year. And we see that the reprint value on average for all five of those decks was $97.48.
Nice.
So this is a little bit higher reprint value than the traditional commander product, at least from this year. Now, remember that C20 decks had an average of 23 new cards per deck. They did more new cards than ever this year. And this one only has three. So that I don't want that number to be too misleading, right?
Yeah.
Because you're not getting as many new cards. And new cards do have value. They're just not calculated into the reprint value because at the time that we do this calculation, we don't know what new cards are worth.
Yep.
So there's no Fierce Guardianship or anything you're probably going to get, unless you think Enigma Thief or Whisper Steel Dagger is going to be that valuable, which I doubt.
Yeah, there's no Dockside Extortionist in this kind of deck. Right. There's just a bunch of reprints.
But
that's
also
still, that's still pretty good, though, I think. Like, just also the fact that I like that two of the big reprint cards are commander cards, like very specifically commander ones, that's great.
And also remember that we think these decks, based on hints given to us when Wizards people have been talking about them, are going to be cheaper, less expensive than traditional commander products. You know, maybe, I don't know, somewhere in the low 20s, I hope? 20,
that'd be
25
great.
Bucks?
Really?
Maybe?
I can imagine someone walking in there and being like, I want to play commander. That looks really affordable. I'm going to get that.
That's a really good point. As a way to sort of let people enter the format, it's a lot more palatable to spend $25 than it is to spend $45 or whatever the traditional commander products are at now.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool. And the value is actually, I think, pretty good at that price point.
Yeah, and the deck looks like it's very focused. It's not too complicated in terms of what it does. So hopefully that's an easy way for people to get in as well.
Okay, we're going to cut away here to a quick clip from Gavin because he has sort of a closing statement about these decks.
Doing two commander decks with a set is uncharted territory for us. I mean, we just did our first ever commander decks aligned with a set with Ikoria earlier this year. So I would love your feedback. Please send it to me either on Twitter or Instagram or even on YouTube and let me know what you think. I hope you're enjoying this continued year of Commander, and there's still a lot of fun stuff in store. Commander Legends is just around the corner, and well, I'm sure I'll be talking with you again then. But in the meantime, enjoy these Zendikar commander decks. They're a lot of fun.
Nice.
All right, so if you want to contact the Mountain Man and tell him what you think about these decks.
That beard just keeps getting longer. Right?
I think in between clips, it's grown.
That's true. If you're listening on audio, you can send Gavin a tweet at Gavin Verhey. That's G-A-V-I-N-V-E-R-H-E-Y. Not at Mountain Man, unfortunately. but yeah, he's asking for
Mountain
some feedback.
Mountain Man MTG.
Yeah, this is, again, the first time that they've done this, so I think it's a really important moment for the developers and for the designers to hear what you think about the decks. We've obviously given our opinions throughout this episode, but I think it's great for the community as well to always chime in.
And I'm sure Gavin will be monitoring the comments on this video, so that's another place where if you want to just let, you know, Gavin and Wizards know what you think about the deck, that's a good place to put it. And to listeners, in that same vein, what do you think about this deck? What do you think about these new set decks, these new Commander precons, sort of in general, conceptually, what do you think about them? Are you excited for new Commander precons now with most sets moving forward? We know mm-hmm. that's the plan outside of core sets.
Yeah, and also let us know that the Naya deck was spoiled earlier today, we believe. So if you guys want to even compare those two, let us know what you think about the what you can sense across both decks.
All right, and one more thing here. Gavin has recently jumped into the content creation game. You know, besides the beard creation game, he's also doing content creation. And he has a new MTG themed channel. And again, Gavin is a senior designer at Wizard, so he's able to like do a lot of special stuff with his channel because he's got insider knowledge. So anyway, yeah. We'll let Gavin talk really quickly about his new channel.
I actually do have something pretty new and cool to talk about, and that's my new YouTube channel, Good Morning Magic. It has new episodes up 3 days a week and takes you behind the scenes at Wizards, talking about things like new mechanics or answering popular questions, or sometimes even showing off preview cards. With Commander Legends around the corner, you will want to keep your eyes peeled. Please go and subscribe. It would really mean a lot, and I'll see you on the channel.
Good morning, Magic. It's great. I mean, if you like Drive to Work podcast with Mauro, because he has so much insight about the history of the game, Gavin's going to have a lot of that as well. The amount that these developers know about Magic is, it's immense.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, that's what they do 24/7. So the link to Good Morning Magic will be in the show notes, but you can just type Good Morning Magic into the YouTube search bar and find it really easily.
Yep, yep.
Something else you should type into your URL window is cardkingdom.com/commandzone. If you want to get your hands on this Rogue Tribal, Dimir, Sneak Attack, Anawan deck, cardkingdom.com/commandzone is the place to go, or the Naya deck, or any of the cards from Zendikar Rising. Mm-hmm. You want to get a booster box, you want to get a collector's booster, you want to get bundles, you want to just buy the singles, which is the most cost-efficient way to go.
Yeah.
And also the thing that Card Kingdom specializes in, because they will get you your singles faster and in better condition than anybody else. Seriously, they have, like, I don't know, they've got a million people working over there, or they have machines or something, because they just get that stuff out the door so fast.
It's great when you order in the morning and you get a notice later in that same day that it's been shipped.
Yeah, you sometimes, like, wow. Like, I've gotten the notification like 20 minutes after I made the order. It's like, your order's been shipped. Wait, what?
Well, when Josh Lee Kwai's name enters the system, they like ring the bells. They're like, it's a Josh order. Ding, 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 ding.
I don't think that's what happens.
Definitely not. And when you get those cards, you're going to want to protect them. So, of course, we here at the Command Zone trust Ultra Pro with all of our card protection needs, as well as the way that we bring our cards to tournaments when we can, as well as around the world in terms of putting them into their awesome boxes. They've just released a whole new line, the Mythic line.
The Mythic Collection, yep.
Yeah, and it looks great, feels great, really strong magnets as well. And of course,
yeah, they all have the Planeswalker symbol like stitched on them.
Etched in, super classy. Feels really nice. Yeah. Definitely you'll get TSA being like, what is that? And not in like a, is that dangerous? But like, that's cool kind of way. And of course, the playmats that we use on the show that we unveil at the beginning of every game night, always made by Ultra Pro, as well as our Epic Play playmat.
Oh, right.
Make sure you do not forget to add that into your cart on Kickstarter, because once that Kickstarter is over, you're never going to be able to get it again. And the ARPA Jesper icing, everyone's been commenting on it. It's great.
Yeah, going over Kickstarter, again, link in the show notes. All right, now it's time for the instep where we talk about something cool outside of the world of Magic. We have something cool here.
Ah.
So there's a new graphic novel series. The first book is out, and it is by our good friend, Brandon Sanderson, Game Whoa. Nights alum.
Game Nights winner.
Yeah, Game Nights winner. He's a real good Magic player, as it turns out.
Yeah, and evil, as it turns out, when he plays Magic.
Which
so.
Fits into this book, actually, because the book is called Dark One. Mm. And Brandon is credited as the created and story by. It's sort of a story of good and evil, but with a twist. It follows the perspective of the person, not who's destined to be the savior, but who's destined to be the fearsome villain.
Oh, I love those. Yeah. I love that twist.
Pretty interesting. And here's another interesting twist, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
This book was, so it's story and created by Brandon Sanderson, our friend, but then it was written by two guys, and one of them is our friend. So it was written by Colin Kelly and Jackson Lansing.
Oh, Jackson.
So Jackson is a person who Jimmy and I both know from different circles, right? You know him from the USC circle, and mm-hmm. he does a lot of
dungeon
mastering and stuff.
Yep.
And I know him because he actually worked on a short film that I did.
Oh,
so
right.
So we've known Jack. He goes by Jackson now. He went by Jack when I knew him, which was a long time ago.
Yeah, really talented guy, though.
Yeah, they do a lot of comic books and graphic novels, he and his writing partner, Colin. Mm-hmm. So they were the written by on this, which when we saw it, I was like, hey, Brandon Sanderson. Hey, Jackson.
Hey, Jackson.
Yeah. And it was also, the book was drawn by Nathan Gooden, who, very talented artist who worked on this book for literal years. We're going to be showing some of the frames from it on screen here. You can see it's beautiful.
I love graphic novels.
Yeah, do you read a lot of them?
Yeah, I just finished reading the first three big chapters of Saga, which Ooh. Is by Brian K. Vaughan mm-hmm. and Fiona
I've
Staples.
Always heard about it. Is it good?
It's fantastic. I can just lend it to you if you want. It's great. I read it with my girlfriend. It was like awesome. Like an hour before night, you can get through like three of the mini like chapters. But the amount of work you have to put into a graphic novel is immense.
Yeah, it's crazy because you have to do all the art and the art direction and everything too.
Yeah, and there's at the end of the first like mega book that compiles all of them, you see the step-by-step process because they have to ink every single thing, draw the sketches, and then they have to ink even how they put the words on the page.
They got to color it all.
There's so many steps just to make a single page of it. So it's really cool to see.
Yeah, so this one, again, is called Dark One. And if you're a fan of Brandon Sanderson, I read basically everything that he puts out. So I think that'll be worth...
Have to pick it up.
Yeah, and we know Jackson's a really good writer too, and his buddy Colin, and the art looks awesome. So Dark One. There will be links again for that in the show notes. In fact, actually, I think, yeah, I should have said this earlier. We are going to do a contest. We're going to give away some of these books.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay.
Good thing you're still listening, yeah, good listener. Good thing
you're still listening to this. Because I talked to Jack, and we're going to set up something with the publishing company. I think it's Vault. And they're going to send out a bunch of Dark One books to people out there. So here's a really easy way to enter. On Twitter or on our Instagram, which are both at CommandCast, mm-hmm. just use the hashtag DarkOneMTG, all one word, and just say anything to us. DarkOneMTG, be like, hey, Jimmy and Josh, I love Brandon Sanderson.
Yeah.
Hey, Jimmy and Josh, I like graphic novels. Hey, Jimmy and Josh, why are you both wearing red shirts? Anything. Just use the hashtag DarkOneMTG, because that's what we'll search by on Instagram or Twitter, and we will randomly choose...
Ten people?
I think they said 10.
Okay.
10 people to give the book to for free.
That's great.
Yeah.
And for all of you still listening, you got a good chance of winning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good chance. All right. Big thanks to our editing, graphics, and logistics team, which is Craig Blanchett, Ashlyn Rose, Lady Danger, Manson Lung, Alfred Estaca, Josh Murphy, Jake Boss, Patrick Nahn, and Sam Waldo. I swear, that list gets longer.
That's a mouthful. I was thinking the same thing. And of course, big thanks to Jeffrey Palmer and Sam Waldo for doing the Living Card animations behind us here on set. The animations of Game Nights, the animations that start and end our show, now at youtube.com/TheCommandZonePodcast. You can find Jeffrey at Living Cards MTG. Always love his work.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching.
And we'll see you next time.
Peace.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.